Welcome to Monday morning open lines, 1-877-332-8255 for the next hour. Happy to talk about whatever's on your mind. Give us a call or shoot us a text. We just got a text actually a little bit earlier from Dave and Esteban. It sounds like that southeast part of the province getting a bit of rain in a few spots. So yeah, that's not good. Freezing as soon as it hits. I just checked the highway hotline. For the most part, doesn't look terrible, although that southeast part of the province, it looks as if there is covered roads and visibility maybe down a little bit there, just according to the highway hotline. So do take care if you're headed out. Check the highway hotline to see what the road conditions are like in your neck of the woods. And Dave, thanks for the text. Always welcome text to talk about road conditions, especially if they're bad in your area. Please do share with us. Listen, before we get into open lines, I wanted to just for a second talk about the funeral that took place yesterday in Saskatoon for a name that many, many people know, Reginald Harrison. Maybe you know him better as Crash Harrison. He was a flight lieutenant, and he is very well decorated as a Second World War pilot, and rightly so. As you probably have heard, Crash Harrison's wartime service included 19 missions over occupied Europe, participation in the D-Day operations, and survived 4 plane crashes. That's where he got the nickname Crash. He was a member of both the Guinea Pig Club, the Caterpillar Club, which are both symbols of endurance and sacrifice. He passed away late November at the age of 103. This fella was extraordinary. And we've had him on our program before. He was born and raised on a farm in Pheasant Forks, which is around Lorley, no longer exists there. There is just the little name sign is still on the road there, but just north of Lemberg is essentially where he was born and raised. And he basically decided, you know what, I think I'd like to become a pilot. Ultimately, of course, flew for the military, but he had so much more in his life afterwards. He was a member of Nutana Curling Club, curled into his 90s. He was known for his beautiful yard. In fact, he was an honorary lifetime member of the Saskatoon Horticultural Society and received many awards for his flowers. But if you look at his decorations for his service, 1939-1945 Star Medal, Aircrew Europe Star and Clasp, Defense Medal 1939 to 1945, Canadian Volunteer Service Medal with Clasp, Bomber Command Bar. 2016, he received the French National Order of the Legion of Honor, and in 2022, Queen Elizabeth II's Platinum Jubilee Medal. Crash Harrison, one hell of a guy. And you may have actually had the opportunity to read his book. If you haven't, you should check it out. The memoir is called Crash Harrison, Tales of a Bomber Pilot Who Defied Death. It was beautifully written by Deanna Driver. He is quite the story. 103 years old, a life well lived, a great celebration. There were not only, of course, his family and friends there, but snowbirds, veterans, civic leaders, all wanting to commemorate the incredible life of the last surviving member of the Royal Canadian Air Force's wartime 431 Squadron, honorary snowbird. That's the snowbirds were in fine form there as well. So just a quick mention and a quick appreciation for what he did for our country and to all the families and friends of Crash Harrison. Condolences this morning, but also celebration for a life very well lived. Okay, open lines, 1-877-332-8255. What would you like to talk about? Whatever's on your mind. I got a text already saying, how about Regina's spending? City Council says the pool is going ahead. We'd lose $100 million of funding if we canceled it now on a projected cost of $320 million. Now, I can appreciate a deal, but even a sale isn't a deal if you can't afford it. This is insanity, says the texter. Regina City Council budget discussions start a week from today. So Saskatoon, of course, still letting the dust settle after their numbers were decided just over a week ago. Regina will start in a week with their budget discussions, which basically will wrap up literally the week before Christmas. 1-877-332-8255. I mentioned that it's cold with freezing rain. John and Mesa, says to me, wow, freezing rain. You should feel sorry for us. It's only plus 10 here and going up to 23 today. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Well, we'll just let that sink in for a second, John. Thanks for the text. Here's a text from Sean in Weyburn regarding the federal workers being required to be in the office 5 days a week. You bet. I don't care how many hours they work from home, as long as the first 40 hours a week are in the office. This will be a good way to reduce the federal workforce. So this is, thanks, Sean, this is going to be interesting because the federal government, basically, they haven't come out and announced anything yet, but the rumors are there. There's a leaked document apparently floating around from the Treasury Board that says that government is expecting in 2026 a return to office 5 days a week for the federal workforce. So federal government employees. Now, we've talked about this on the program before. I've talked with friends of mine who live in Saskatchewan and work for the federal government. This sounds like less of an issue in the prairies than it is for those that live in the bigger cities, because of course what they've been able to avoid is in some cases 1 hour, 1 hour and a half commute time both ways. So the union that represents the federal workers, at least a big chunk of them, the Canadian Association of Professional Employees Union, is saying productivity is going to go down. This is reckless. The other issue is they have sold off or gotten out of leases on a lot of office spaces. So during the pandemic, of course, we know lots of government workers were sent to work from home. Since then, it was decided, well, you know what? We don't maybe need as much of this office space. So they start getting rid of it. Well, now that they've gone back to basically, I think many of the federal employees are working minimum of 3 days a week in the office. I think some of the managers have to be 4 days a week, but they're sharing space. So they've got a bit of a rotating, you know, if one office doesn't have enough desk spots for everyone, you might go in and work there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Maybe I work there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Like they rotate through. And again, what I've heard in Saskatchewan, this hasn't been a big deal. But in some of the centers where there's a longer commute, they are up in arms about this. This whole having to be in the office to work discussion has really taken on a bit of a life of its own. And again, I would say since COVID, I'm one of those guys that firmly believed you need to be in work. You have to go to the office to work. Then during the pandemic, I had the opportunity to see what it would be like because all of our police officers had to continue going to work, obviously. No option to work from home. Some of our civilian staff, though, were allowed to work from home. And there were staff members that I saw that were way more productive working from home than they were the office. There were others, not so much. Others that required, I would suggest, a little more supervision. And it really came down to the personality of the people. The interesting thing was those people who were more productive at home than they were in the office, over time were missing that social aspect, right? Seeing other people. I mean, being on a Zoom meeting isn't the same. And many of them were anxious to come back to work. So it's interesting to watch what the federal government is going to do because we have seen Ontario ordered provincial public servants back full-time starting in January. City of Ottawa followed shortly after that as well. So in Ottawa, many of the people who are not federal government employees will be back in the office full-time. This is what many people think is sparking the Treasury Board to make this. Keep in mind, they have not confirmed a full-time return to work, but there is this leaked document that basically indicates that's the case. I have mixed feelings about it. I really do. I can see the value for some. It depends on the person. Really does depend on the person. And in Saskatchewan, many people saying, you know, going into the office is a 10-minute drive as opposed to in some of the bigger centers where it's a longer commute. And that's where you really start to see the pushback on this. So if they have the office space for it, I guess it wouldn't be as big of a deal, but if they have sold off or let the leases lapse on office space, that's going to be another bit of a debacle there as well. Clinton Lumsden, good morning, Evan. I have no problem with someone staying home to work if they're willing to make less money than the people who have to be out on the front lines or have to be in the office, because it's costing them more to drive to work than the people that can stay home. Clinton Lumsden. That point actually is one that is made by the union. They're saying long travel times, strained transit, higher out-of-pocket costs. So yeah, you're talking about whether it's putting gas in your vehicle or some sort of a transit pass, and the fear of losing the flexibility hybrid work has created for them. So have we created a society that has now come to expect this? As recently as 2019, this was not even a big topic. And now it's a bit of a fight for federal workers. 1-877-332-8255. If you have an opinion on that or anything else, we'll take a break. But when we come back, a hunting assessment is being done by the province of Saskatchewan on this antlerless elk hunt. And my suggestion is it's not going to be positive feedback. The province hears. We had lots of discussion on this just over a week ago, and I'm happy to hear your thoughts again this morning. Text and phone lines are open at 1-877-332-8255. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. You can be my bodyguard. I can be your long lost pal. I can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me. Monday morning, easing back into the work week after the weekend, although I see a text from Bobby in Saskatoon, says, my morning coffee, and she's got a picture of a cup of coffee and a bottle of Bailey's. Bobby, cheers. Good morning. 1-877-332-8255. We're talking about the federal government employees. The rumor is that they are going to be, in 2026, asked to return to the office full-time, Monday to Friday, 5 days a week, and the union not happy about that, citing a number of reasons why that's not a good idea. Larry at Christopher Lake said, you know, I find it interesting that the federal government employees are bucking going back to work with the same terms they were very happy to be hired with when they started those jobs. As a former federal employee, I saw a lot of cracks in the work-at-home process that minimized efficiency and actually saw some tasks left undone. Larry, thanks for the text. There are a number, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but there are a number of federal employees who work in our province that say, this is not a big deal. Work is 10 minutes. In fact, I haven't had to be at work, but I've been going into work regularly anyway. I think maybe one of the crunches is if the federal government has made steps in the last few years to get rid of some of their properties, to downsize some of their federal offices, thinking that they were going to permanently be having this hybrid model of work at the office and work from home. But now if everyone's going back to the office, clearly maybe they're going to have to rethink that. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. I've got a couple calls coming in. I'm going to start with Joe in Saskatoon. Good morning, Joe. Thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was just thinking this topic is probably a hot topic of conversation around boardrooms around the world. But what we've learned is from upper management is if you're trying to hire new employees right now, if working from home partially isn't even on the table, you're not going to get them.
Is that right? Like it's become the norm, you're saying?
Yes. Well, the organizations I'm involved with, it is a concern for the employees. They like working from home, or at least they like the option of working from home.
How do you find productivity, Joe? And I know that's a pretty general question, but you know, are you seeing your employees that come in and have this hybrid model are as effective from home as they are at work?
That's the whole problem with the board trying to make this discussion or this decision. We don't work with them. We don't see them every day. We don't know where the productivity is. We have to rely on upper management to let us know whether there's issue with productivity with this policy.
Yeah, it's a tough topic, Joe. I appreciate the call and the perspective. You know, you get a call like Joe or the text we had from a former federal government employee. That perspective is helpful, and I welcome anyone who wants to weigh in on this. 1-877-332-8255. I did see another text I was just going to respond to. I was mentioning the fact that we had the budget is being discussed in Regina on the 15th, and there was a text that asked, my understand is, here it is, Joanne in Regina, I understand there are a few town hall meetings taking place this week regarding the upcoming budget. Is there a list of where and when those meetings can be found? So one actually happened. There wasn't a town hall that happened on the 6th. So that one's done. I know Ward 5 is got one. That's Councillor Sarah Turnbull has got one happening on December 13th at the Vic Square Mall. I don't know the time on that. That's the only one that I know of, Joanne, so far that is scheduled. There could be others scheduled. I would suggest whatever ward you're in, reach out to your counselor, go onto the web, see if you can find if there is an opportunity for engagement, because those are important opportunities. And as you know, members are allowed to go down and sit in and watch the budget discussions, although it takes a lot of time. Not everyone's got that kind of time as well. But Joanne, thanks for the question. 1-877-332-8255. 11,546 tags were sold for that antlerless elk hunt that ran from November 20th to the 27th. So the government is now basically looking to do a survey, a hunter harvest survey, to assess both the harvest levels and the hunter's success in obtaining landowner access. The results will be considered in future wildlife management planning discussions. So keep in mind, this was done in response to growing landowner concerns, the high number of elk congregating on property and causing damage. However, once it was issued and the hunt began, all I heard was negative comments and concerns. We did one chunk of the show here a couple of weeks back where we had people from the southeast part of our province saying it was like Wild West out there. It was a free-for-all. We know there have been a number of reports of instances of elk left to waste in various places. We heard reports of hunters shooting at a running herd, actual running herd of elk, and then not taking the time to go see if they successfully hit one or not. Not to mention the fact, how many people, the day we talked about this on the show, how many people did we have call in or text in and say they got their tag, and when they went out there and saw how many hunters were on one piece of land, they just felt like it wasn't safe. And they decided, this isn't for me. 1-877-332-8255. You may not want to take part in the survey, but maybe you want to take part in this discussion. I would welcome your call or text on this as well. If you would like to weigh in on whether or not you think this antlerless elk hunt that the province did late November was a positive thing, or did it actually cause more problems than not? Conservation officers were kept busy. I know that for sure. We'll take a break. We'll be back. Phone lines and text lines open for you here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to the show, and thanks to Darwin out of Yorkton that shot a quick picture in on the text line. Highway 9, Yorkton to Whitewood. Wow, it is not good. Covered in snow, you can see visibility is bad. He says a couple of semis jackknifed in the valley, so do take care. That's Highway 9, Yorkton to Whitewood, but there's lots of them out there that are not in good shape. So check ahead before you head out on the highway. We were chatting a bit about this assessment that they are going to be doing now on the impact of that short-term hunting season that they did for antlerless elk. That was right at the end of November. We took time out of our show one day and we took some calls and texts, people saying, yeah, this was absolutely a disaster. A number of people texting in saying, yeah, it was not the success that many thought it would be. Here's a text that says, I was actually in on that hunt. I had a chunk of land where it was only a few of us that could access it. One night there was 64 shots fired. And then a couple of days later, coyotes were yapping and yelling. So my guess is they only got a few. 1-877-332-8255. I'm going to go back to the phone line. Robert from the southern part of the province. Robert, were you in on that antlerless elk hunt at the end of November?
Actually, I was not, Evan.
No?
And good morning.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
My son and I were actually fortunate enough to get drawn for the antlerless elk season.
Okay.
So we started our season the middle of October. So, and it's about an hour and a half drive to Zone 2 West, where we were hunting. And I guess what frustrates me the most is now my son and I, we are kicked out of the draw because we were successful. Everyone else who bought a tag, it doesn't hurt their draw standings. So if they were in the A pool or Super A to get drawn, it doesn't affect them. Now we were drawn, my son and I were down in the C pool. And we paid $70 for a draw tag.
Yeah.
The over-the-counter purchase tags were $30.
I know. I heard you. You know, Robert, I appreciate you bringing that up because I heard that feedback from other hunters as well. There's a fairness element to this as well, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. On the positive note, we got to see some beautiful country down in 2 West. The walks were incredible, but a little bit of frustration to know that now my neighbor who bought a tag, who was unsuccessful, he can keep his name in the draw. My son and I were out for minimum 4 years.
Yeah. That feedback that Robert just gave is feedback we've heard from other hunters as well. I appreciate you calling in, Robert. 1-877-332-8255. The topic about federal employees having to go back to the office, keep in mind, I don't want to be the one that's starting a vicious rumor. This has already started. There's a leaked Treasury Board document that basically outlines a plan in 2026 to have the core public service introduce a more rigid schedule for federal offices, expecting essentially that federal workers might be back in the office. The federal government, through the Treasury Board, have not yet confirmed this. So I just want to make sure that I'm clear on that. Now, that said, the unions are saying we need clarity on this. We need to understand if this rumor is true. Both the Canadian Association of Professional Employees Union and the Public Service Alliance of Canada. Those are essentially the two big unions. There's some smaller ones that represent some of the workers, but they are saying this is not good. It's reckless. It's costly. It's out of touch. And it's hurting morale, productivity, and recruitment. Now, as you just heard, we had a caller call in to say, you know what? As someone who sits on a board who deals with hiring, it is getting tougher and tougher for companies to hire new employees if they don't offer some sort of hybrid work system, allowing employees the opportunity to work from home. Many of us that started in the workforce, that's foreign. Right. I can't imagine ever feeling as if I was entitled to work from home. But times have changed. I think the pandemic changed that for a lot of people. And I will be the first. I was very resistant to what this was going to look like. I will be the first to admit we did have some great success stories from employees who were working from home. Their productivity was, in some cases, better than when they were at work. Probably less distractions. But there are people who I would say the distractions got the better of them, and maybe they weren't so productive. 1-877-332-8255. Yeah, lots of people weighing in on this. Labor unions are becoming the problem with higher costs of everything, including food, shelter, and city, provincial, and federal taxes. The unions were supposed to be the compass that set fair wages, but now have escalated all the costs that we can no longer afford. Hi, Evan. This is Don in Saskatoon. If the federal civil servants return to work, there will be a lot of anxious dogs who are not getting to the dog parks during office hours. Yeah, I don't know if that's true or not, but Don, 1-877-332-8255. So there are a number of people on the text line that are saying, you know, let's look at what the positives are. Working from home reduces traffic, fewer commuters on the road, reduces pollution, fuel consumption, frees up real estate currently used for offices and parking lots. Who's arguing against this, and how recently did they have their last drink? I can argue both sides of this, so it's tough for me on these texts to say. So here's a text that's John in Saskatoon. He says, you know, I've spent a fair bit of time studying different work force types from around the world, given my political science background. Almost all European countries, especially the Scandinavian ones, have a four-day work week, with almost all jobs across many industries working a hybrid model, if not fully remote. Their workforce seems to be significantly less stressed, with less turnover at companies pretty much across the board, and surveys done on work-related anxiety stress all suggest this model is better for employees' overall well-being and, by association, their productivity. The seven-day work week model was brought down to six to make room for religion. Then it was brought down to five to recognize employees have families. The point is that what we expect out of our employees has changed before, and I believe we are just at another crossroads. That's a good text, John. Thanks so much for your thoughts on this. 1-877-332-8255. Brenda out of Saskatoon. Yep, the PSAC, Public Service Alliance for Canada, are for the rank and file of the federal government. There's also a management group. So, yeah, this report I'm looking at lists basically two of the main unions that have kind of stood up against this, PSAC being one of them and the Canadian Association of Professional Employees being the other. Now, again, I think part of the pressure here is added because Ontario ordered provincial public servants back full-time starting in January. City of Ottawa has followed suit. Currently, federal public employees are required to work at the office at least 3 days a week. Many executives expected to be on site for 4 days a week. Dozens of departments and agencies in the core public service reported that more than half of their staff had no dedicated workspace in 2024. 90% were hoteling, so that's rotating through shared stations as they became available. Office space was strained under current three-day model. A move to five days, many worry, will create logistical challenges across the public service. So, yet to hear anything official from the Treasury Board, but many people saying, I don't see the big deal. James in Saskatoon, great show as always. Once again, the federal government has created a significant situation and challenge with federal employees working from home. Oh my God, it has been over 5 years now and we're still having this conversation. In a recent article in the news, they figure it cost the feds $1.5 billion to save $82 million in wages from cutbacks. The problem is it's about an 18-year break even, because they're offering the same employees two and three and in some cases four times their annual wages as a payout. Well, so this is, we're kind of merging two topics now. James is talking about the fact that they are actually reducing the number of federal employees. We're talking about the fact that there may be a push to get them back in the office. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to Brent in Humboldt. Good morning, Brent. What's your thoughts?
Well, I think all the arrangements that were made for the government workers to compensate to work from home, making a whole bunch of different lifestyle changes, and now they're asking them to go back to work. So, I don't know. I'm not really in favor of it. You just can't push the reset button and expect them to go back. There's got to be some logical thinking put in place and common sense made here.
Right. And I mean, part of it, you know, it could be baked into a collective agreement as well. And that changes the topic completely. If a collective agreement has been structured for a group of employees that allows for 3 days a week in the office and the rest, you know, this hybrid model, then there would have to be some negotiations. In other places, it was not collectively bargained. It was a policy decision. In those cases, maybe there's a little more ground for it, but that's yet to be seen as well. Okay, let's take our last break. We will come back, finish up with open lines. And just to remind you, keep that phone handy for a text and a call if you've got a traffic safety-related question. I've got three police officers coming in just after 10 o'clock. Today on the Roundtable of Justice, we are in full-fledged holiday mode. People are thinking about safe rides home. We know there are police stop checks, so we've got traffic safety police officers on the show after 10, and we will open it up for your traffic-related questions here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
To say I love you, I just call
On the notion of whether or not federal employees, federal government employees, will go back to the office 5 days a week or not, there are a number of text messages. Robin from PA just has one example, wondering if employees for any organization, well, I mean, we're talking about the federal government employees, but would you say, I will gladly work from home and take less pay than going into the office? Because the argument is, and this is what the texters are pointing out, the argument from the union is, it costs money to either buy transit passes or commute to and from work. So as a result, maybe if I could stay home, I could save the government a little bit of money. I can hear the anger coming out to the radio right now from some people saying that's against collective bargaining. That's, well, these are just thoughts that people are putting out on the text line. Here's a text from Aaron in Saskatoon, and this certainly is the case for business owners. He says, at the end of the day, the business owner is exactly that, the owner. If the employees want more pull, they should pony up and put more skin in the game, start their own business, take on their risk. The owner is footing the bills and the risk. It should be their call, regardless of what the employee, union, or anyone else wants. In a private business, 100%. In a government-run business, it maybe takes on a bit of a different flair, I would suggest. You know, I think about, you know, I talked about when we at the Regina Police Service, the pandemic hit, all the officers stayed and worked regular, but the civilian staff were allowed to work from home, except for there's a few that we couldn't. I mean, our comm center, for example, we have civilians that work in the communication center in our police service in Regina. They couldn't go work from home. They had to continue coming to work. But many of the civilian police personnel were allowed to work from home. Within about a year, we did a complete back-to-work migration. Everyone came back to work. We didn't get a lot of pushback, but what we did do then was open up through human resources a bit of a policy so that if there was a request for some sort of a amended workday or hybrid work request, those were dealt with on a one-by-one basis. We put some parameters up there, but generally speaking, all employees came back to work and there was no real big problem. Now, many will point out the commute time in Regina probably significantly different than Montreal or Toronto or some of the Ottawa, some of the places where federal government employees have a 2-hour commute. 1-877-332-8255. The elk hunt texts continue to come in as well. Here's a texter that says that elk hunt in late November was not very well thought out. Until the government put some teeth into protecting landowners, they should have not used this approach. I heard of landowners being confronted when they were hunting on their own property. We regularly will have conservation officers on the show. We've had them on from time to time. So this will be an interesting conversation the next time we have one of our conservation officers on the show as well. Here's a text from Josh. Let's get a conservation officer on the show to talk about the number of dead elk or moose that were left to waste after this cull. I know I was reading a report, and we have had Todd Smith on our program, the executive director of the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation. Apparently, the Saskatchewan Wildlife Federation received about 20 complaints a day from citizens in the province about trespassing on private land, unethical hunting, or a waste of game or poaching issues. 20 a day during that 1 week period that open hunt was on. So good conversation with our Ministry of Environment. The next time we have Minister Travis Kezig on the show, I'm sure that's another topic that will come up there as well. Okay. Here's where we're going next at just after 10 o'clock. Every Monday we do the Roundtable of Justice. And this is a variety of different justice related or community safety related topics. About twice in a year, we will do an entire segment on traffic safety. We'll bring in some traffic safety police officers. These officers work out there every day doing traffic enforcement. They see it all. They hear it all. We bring them in, and then we open up the lines for you to ask questions. This is our second segment of 2025, just before Christmas, given the fact that we will be seeing some check stops popping up throughout the province over the next few weeks. This is a good opportunity to get our traffic officers back on the show. So, just after 10 o'clock, three officers will join us, two from the Regina Police Service, one from the Saskatoon Police Service, and we will effectively open up phone lines for you. So if you have a question, you want to text it in, 1-877-332-8255. Anything traffic safety related, we'll do our best to get as many of your questions on the air. They are here for one full hour. It's the Roundtable of Justice you hear every Monday right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.